You're listening to world famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday morning. The boys are on vacation, but however, some of us are still here working hard for you on a Monday morning, like me, Ralph Garman, your buddy with the Showbiz Beat. Omar's also in the studio.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Beer Mug is also back.
Beer Mug's back. So
what are you going to do? It's a Monday. I got a case in the Mondays now because Beer Mug's here.
Come on.
Let's take a look at the box office over the weekend at the movie theater, something we do every Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Turns out the number one film this weekend, a little movie we like to call Ted.
Nice.
That's all I'm talking about.
Sweet.
The Seth MacFarlane comedy opened up with an amazing $54 million this weekend. That is a record for a best ever opening weekend for an original non-sequel R-rated comedy.
Wow.
The Hangover was the biggest R-rated comedy previous to this with $45 million back in 2009. Now, Ted crushed that by making $54 million this weekend. So, congratulations to Seth and to all my friends who were involved in that motion picture, and could not be happier for those guys. And if you happen to be a powerful Hollywood producer, just keep in mind, Ralph Garman in the first 10 minutes of your movie equals $54 million on an opening weekend.
That's correct.
That's all you need to
yep.
know. Second at the box office, Magic Mike.
Magic Mike!
Stop it. Bunch of guys taking their clothes off for a bunch of chicks. Also did very well for itself. Just about $40 million, $39.2 million. Brave was third. Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection did $26.4 million.
Wow.
Making it number four. Really, people?
That Madea.
Still going?
She cray.
She's cray.
Yeah.
Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, was fifth. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter came in at number six. Then Prometheus, Moonrise Kingdom, Snow White and the Huntsman, and People Like Us. Opening up this weekend, Tuesday night, Amazing Spider-Man. So,
yeah.
A lot of stuff going on movie-wise this weekend. Alec Baldwin and his fiancée, Hilaria Thomas, got married on Saturday, at the St. Patrick's Old Cathedral in New York City. Big star-studded guest list were there. Tina Fey, Woody Allen, Mariska Hargitay, Robert F. Kennedy, his brothers, of course, Stephen and Billy. His daughter Ireland was there. His ex-wife, Kim Basinger, not there. Surprising.
Weird.
And to celebrate, Alec had a pinata made in the shape of a paparazzo and just beat the crap out of it until candy fell out of him. Not all is romance, weddings, and flowers for celebrity romance, however, because Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes are divorcing, as you know.
I guess the contract was up.
Yeah. We're starting to find out more and more about the divorce. Looks like Katie filed because she is concerned about her daughter, Suri, who is now 6 years old, being indoctrinated in the ways of Scientology. She's worried that Tom is going to start immersing her in the church. And that's why Katie is seeking sole custody of their daughter. She is concerned that the role Scientology might play in her life.
If you're Katie Holmes, don't you know that going in?
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe
come
you
on,
do. Maybe right? you do. But when you have a kid, maybe it just drives it home a little bit more and you get a little bit more aware of it. You know, maybe she didn't understand the true depths of what could potentially happen until she actually had the baby.
Right.
You never know. What could she stand to make from the marriage when it's all said and done? Well, they do have a prenup that would entitle her to $15 million as a nice parting gift as she leaves the marriage. And then add on child support, because if she's the sole custody provider, then she'll need to get money from Tom. So five years at $15 million. So it's at $3 million a year?
Yeah.
Not a bad
deal. Not bad, man.
Not a bad contract. Yeah. Johnny Depp and Vanessa Paradis, by the way, they're splitting up as well. 14 years together. Now, they never bothered to get married, so they never bothered to get a prenup. So what's she going to take away? Well, rumor has it she is not too pleased with Johnny, since he is the one splitting up their relationship, and now he's already gone off and found a new girlfriend in that Amber Heard.
Yeah.
And he is carousing and having a good time, so she is going to attach a hefty portion of his fortune. That's what insiders are saying. He is worth $350 million, by the way.
Wow.
So who knows how much he's going to ask for after sacrificing her career as a singer and model to raise their two children, Lily Rose and Jack. She may be entitled to a large portion of that.
Right.
Even if she gets a third, 100 mil, that'd set you up for a while, wouldn't it?
No, heck yeah.
And rich people in the news, as it always is with the showbiz celebrities, Jennifer Lopez. She has found a way to make money that has shocked me when I saw how much money she makes from this particular venture. Her signature perfume line. She has 18 different perfumes.
18 different
18
ones?
Different scents that
I can,
she sells.
I can name you one. Doesn't she do Glow?
Is that hers?
One? Yeah, I think that's hers. Yeah.
I got nothing on
yeah,
the perfume
one.
Stuff.
Wow.
But she's got 18 different ones. Over the past 10 years, she has raked in $80 million from her perfume line.
Wow.
That makes her the biggest celebrity perfume mogul in show business. Sarah Jessica Parker was second. She's got that fragrance Stable, which I like so much. It smells like hay and poop.
That sells.
Not for everybody.
People want to.
Just saying. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Linda Lohan. She's 26 years old today. Ashley Tisdale from Hellcats and High School Musical. She's 27. Michelle Branch. She is 29 years old today. Bassist Dave Parsons of Bush turns 47. And writer-director Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Of course, he was one of the creators of Seinfeld as well. He is a cranky 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Keep on listening for your chance to win every CD made by the band Blink-182, and you'll be qualified for the grand prize drawing we do Monday to send you to see the band in concert in Berlin, Germany. That's just one of the many great things we have for you Monday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend the Nerdist, Chris Hardwick, is going to be on with us, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, and Andrew Siciliano will be recapping the NFL weekend. Speaking of the NFL, Cousin Sal in minutes with his picks for the weekend, too.
So there was a flight from Miami to London late Friday. It's a British Airways flight. Everybody got on the plane in Miami. Everybody was fine. They all sat down. They got in the plane. It was about 3 hours in, so they were over the ocean. A person came on the speaker and said, quote, "This is an emergency. We will shortly be making an emergency landing on water."
Okay. Now, that's good news or bad news when you hear that?
That seems bad.
That's the scariest thing you could hear.
Said families with children were distraught. People were in tears. People were running up and down the aisles. Dogs and cats having sex together. It was crazy. Mass hysteria. And then they came on and they went, we're sorry about that. That was a mistake.
We're fine. Plane's not going to land on water. We're on our way to London. Everything's great. Don't worry about it. Hit the wrong button. There. Sorry about that.
Pre-recorded announcement. Somebody hit the wrong button.
Oh,
can you imagine? Can you imagine the giant oops?
Now, I would imagine too. The people, like the flight attendants, at first are wondering what's going on. What
panic.
Don't they know?
Right. Sure.
Yes.
And everybody's trying to figure out who hit that and what's happening.
Well, apparently, and I heard from somebody who works for an airline, not associated with this story, apparently all flights have that recording loaded up and ready to go. And the reason it's on tape is so that the pilot can come on and make the announcement while he's actually busy trying to not crash.
Right.
So it's one of the things that you do in advance of when you need it, just so that you don't have to think about it at the time. Plus, let's face it, you can, that way you can record it while you're calm and you sound like there's nothing, there's no danger.
We're going down!
That would be the fear, is if you were doing it live while you were also trying to steer away from the mountain, that it might sound bad. I've always been fascinated with this. This is Bean speaking. Of course, I love death. But I've always been fascinated with what you do if you're in a situation where you're on a plane and maybe it doesn't even get to the announcement from the pilot. Maybe it's just turbulence that's so severe that you're convinced this is the time and the plane is going down. Every time I've heard a story about this where there's been a close call or some incident in the air where people thought they were going to crash and then they interview them at the airport on the other side, they always say the same thing. Complete pandemonium. Everybody screams.
I don't doubt it.
And I guess that makes sense, but that doesn't make things better. That doesn't make the situation less tense, does it?
The situation is on the plane?
No.
That's even worse.
Maybe you can't help it sometimes. I mean, certainly if the plane drops 50 feet, I'm screaming.
Of course. Yeah.
Are you?
Yes.
I mean,
just out of shock.
I mean, I don't know.
I think about it. It would just come out of my mouth.
I feel like I would be trying to stay calm is what I would be trying to do, not make it worse for me and everyone else by panicking.
Well, I don't think that's a pretty natural reaction at that moment.
You're thinking logically, Bean.
And that's not what's going through your head at the time.
It wouldn't
when
be
it's
for
happening
me.
To you. Would you start screaming,
no,
though?
Well,
is that
what
you would do, Kevin?
I would. I would start screaming. But if my wife was with me, I would have sex. Let's be honest.
Right there in the seat on the way down.
And if she wasn't, I would stand up and yell, "Who wants to have sex?"
Right. You'd have to find somebody else because who could blame you? You're going to die.
But no, I wouldn't scream because that's not how I react to trauma or to, you know, these kind of critical situations.
Stressful situations.
I don't think I'd scream all the way down, but I mean,
at
the first giant drop,
Yeah, it's frightening.
Yeah.
It's frightening as hell. And everybody's lived through that. So we would like to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you thought you were going down, doesn't matter what the reason was, maybe they didn't come on and say, this is an emergency. We will shortly be making an emergency landing on water.
Yeah.
While you're over the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, that seems like that's the worst possible scenario. Mm. But your plane does start to lose altitude, or some of them get hit by lightning.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes that stuff happens and they try to keep everybody calm, but maybe you were convinced that was it. This is it. This is the end.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, I guess it depends on how much time you have. If you only have a few seconds, maybe that's all you have time to do is scream. But if it's one of those situations where the pilot is trying to do a delicate maneuver and it goes on for several minutes, I guess that's when you probably pull out your cell phone and risk it and call home and say goodbye and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
right?
That's why the flight goes down, because you turn on phones on a flight and they go right into the ocean. I've been told
Alicia,
that.
Alicia writes in here on the Kevin Bean Show. She knew that we would be doing this topic today, and this is a great great one to get us started, and then we'll go right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Dear Kevin and Bean, 11 years ago, so I was 13 at the time, my dad, my older brother, and me had taken off from LAX. We were headed for Atlanta. We were still ascending when the plane started to thrash from side to side, up and down like a chew toy. Everybody was screaming, crying, and vomiting. By the way, how's that for a plane that's 2 minutes from the ground? Everybody's already vomiting.
And when you leave LAX, you go over the ocean.
Yeah. Before you turn. Before you turn around. My brother, who was 16 at the time, was seated next to me, was out of his seat and up against the side of the plane screaming, I don't want to die a virgin.
No.
One older man on the flight across the aisle from us stopped screaming when he heard that and started laughing. The plane finally leveled out. We found out later that we had got stuck in the wake of a much larger plane. And by the way, I don't know if Alicia is kidding here or not, but she says she hasn't flown since. That was 11 years ago when she was 13. She hasn't flown since because of that?
Can you imagine that guy, though? Because when they level it out, he's like, hey, that whole thing about a virgin, I was joking
just
about that.
Just trying to make you feel better.
Yeah, I was just trying to make people feel
that is the most hilarious thing. Wasn't that the scene in the movie Almost Famous where the band, they thought the plane was going to crash, and the drummer in the band screamed out that he was gay? He just felt like he had to get it off of his chest. And then like 15 seconds later, the plane just leveled out and everybody's just going to say, well, you didn't really have to tell us that, but okay. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Oh, now we're out of time. We have to take a break and come back. And then we'll talk to you, Tesha. We'll talk to Roger, everybody else. We want to hear what happened on your plane when you thought it was going to crash. Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean. You thought your plane was going down. We bring this up, and of course it didn't, because you're alive to call us. We bring this up because of a mistake on a plane going across the ocean the other day where they accidentally hit the recording telling the passengers that the plane was going to land on water, and everybody freaked out until it was revealed that it was an accident. There was nothing wrong with the plane,
and they were fine. Hey, remember that thing about the whole water? Not happening. Everyone sit back down. Everything's cool.
Let's talk to Tisha. Get us started here on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Tisha. Thanks a lot for holding on, my dear. What happened to you?
Hi, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hi. Basically, we were coming in for a landing. We're very close, and the plane dropped, then kind of side-side, nose-side.
Wow.
Nobody came on the speaker. Stewardesses who were collecting the, you know, cans and whatnot jumped into seats, and I screamed bloody murder.
Yes, you started screaming. Excellent.
I started screaming.
I love it. How long did you scream?
It was pretty loud, and my mom, who was sitting next to me, it was, you know, it seemed like forever, but it was probably really quick, and then I kind of like bit into her shoulder, to be honest with you.
You bit your mom's shoulder?
Yeah.
I do not want to fly with you ever.
Did everybody else start screaming once you started screaming?
People, I think, were very shocked. They were, you know, it's kind of hit us when the stewardesses started jumping in the seat.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
But Bean's right. When one person screams, that's when all hell is unleashed. I mean, it's just everybody goes, uh-oh, it's time to scream.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for the call, Tisha. Let's go to Brady real quick, line six. Brady apparently was the only one who panicked on his plane when it got into a tough situation. Hi, Brady. What was the story here, dude?
Yeah, thanks a lot for the setup.
What a pussy you are.
Ohio, we fly a lot of business, and this is my first trip to the Midwest in February. And it was, you know, there was snow on the ground where we were landing. And we came in, and the plane landed. And then as we were starting to slow down, it started to twist to the side, like slip. And I thought we were going to crash. And so, but I was the only, and I'm in a suit, and I'm the only one in the aisle. And everyone else, I guess that's normal. And I'm just kind of looking around like, am I the only one here?
You know, I would be, I gotta be honest, if I wasn't expecting it, I would be a little surprised if the plane started skidding upon landing. I would think that that was not normal either.
Skidding and turning sideways.
Yeah, that wow. seems really bad.
That seems bad. Maybe everybody else was just so stunned that they couldn't really do anything.
Yeah. Good times. Thank you very much, Brady. Let's try Sarah, line 7. Sarah, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Where were you flying to?
I was flying from LAX to Australia.
Okay.
And,
wow. Okay.
A lot of ocean.
And it was so nice. I was 2 glasses of wine and a Vicodin, so I wasn't all there already.
Okay.
And the plane just starts going so fast, and overhead bin pops open. I mean, it's just the worst turbulence. I'm screaming. Everybody's screaming.
Now, wait, going so fast, meaning going down?
Going down and, like, dropping, like, 20 feet. And
sweet.
It would be turbulence, and then it would drop. So the guy that I'm sitting next to, who I had been flirting with the whole time, I noticed his pants around the crotch getting darker and darker.
Wait, so you found him attractive enough to flirt with?
I was flirting with him the whole time. I'm single, and he was in a suit, and it was just darker and darker. And he wet his pants.
Awesome. I love that.
It was great.
Did you bring it up? Hey, how about wetting your pants, huh?
I stopped talking to him the whole time.
And scene.
That's awesome. Thank you for the call.
Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park and Incubus is coming up right around the corner. I mean, September 8th. What's that? Next weekend? It's at the Home Depot Center. You can listen all day long. In fact, all week long here on K-Rock to give away. We're giving away tickets, including not only the show, but a private Linkin Park dress rehearsal. We have those for you on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, comedian Reggie Watts on the way, Jay Moore, and Dr. Drew.
I hate politics. I hate politicians. I hate people who are very political because most of the time they're super extreme and they bug me.
Mm-hmm.
But this Mitt Romney looks like he's going to be the Republican candidate, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. He's going to be the nominee.
Certainly.
Now he's got his wife out there, Ann Romney, telling people that he's not quite as square as it would appear.
Well, here's what's happened, is that he's generally considered to be a pretty boring guy. And, you know, President Obama has that kind of cool factor, a lot of people say. You know, he's slow jamming the news and he's playing basketball. He's doing all these things. And Mitt Romney, some people's complaint is he's just a super rich white guy who's kind of out of touch with people and kind of square, as you mentioned. So, you know, his wife, apparently very personable, very likable. She's out there on the campaign trail saying, look, you don't know this guy. He seems button up. You know, that's what they do in politics is they want to put you over here in a box or something like that. But if you got to know the guy, you'd realize he's the boy that I met in high school and fell in love with him. And he's crazy. He's a wild and crazy man just dying to get out.
She used the words wild and crazy,
which... Look, I don't have anything against Mitt Romney.
I don't either.
I might even end up voting for the guy. But I look at him and I go, you know what? Not wild and crazy. I know that much.
Not one or the other.
I can guarantee that.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd try to find a little bit more out about this story. And believe it or not, producer Dave has been able to line up the presumptive Republican nominee for President of the United States. Mr. Mitt Romney joins us on the phone for the first time on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Romney.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Very good.
Well,
thank
we're
you.
Fine, sir. I know you're extremely busy with the campaign. We very much appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you, and thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
You're talking about your wife and the comments
yeah.
that she made.
Yeah, Annie can be obviously she's my best friend, but she's out there telling people I'm a wild and crazy, and it's a little pressure on me. But I guess she knows me better than anybody, and I guess I do have that side of me.
Would you consider that true?
You're
wild and crazy.
I'm certainly more fun and more crazy, more out there than. And the Democrats and the media would certainly have you believe.
I see. Okay.
Well, when you're doing campaign events, you're a little bit buttoned up. You're trying to stay on message. She says that if we got you away from those cameras and see how you just relate to regular folks, we'd be surprised at what a difference it makes.
Even on the campaign trail, I'm pretty out there.
You are?
I like to have a good time. I like to have a lot of fun. I forget where we were campaigning recently, and I was filling up the minivan at the gas pump.
Right.
And, of course, usually I like to, pump it until it's a very even amount with how much you have to pay, you know, round it up to the nearest dollar, like $20, $21.
Right.
And this time I just left it uneven. I didn't care. I was like,
are you kidding?
$20, like 73 cents.
Wow.
Renegade.
That's crazy.
Oh, I'll tell you, we had a good laugh about
that.
I'll
bet you did. That is insane. Slow down, Governor. Slow down.
The week before that, I was getting ready for a press announcement, and I was up pretty early, and I put on one of my favorite sweater vests. And I realized once I got to the local station where I was doing the publicity that I had put it on inside out.
No.
And you know what? I just left it.
You did not.
Oh! Yeah, I didn't change it. I just left it inside out. No, I don't think anybody knew, but I did.
That is wild and crazy. What's that?
That's a little horn I like to blow once in a while. A little party favor I carry around because I'm wild and I'm crazy.
Right.
And I had that sweater vest on. It was it was completely inside out.
Were you laughing the whole interview to yourself?
It was hard not to bust up, I'll tell you, because here's this reporter and she's like, blah, 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 Afghanistan, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, my sweater vest is inside out. Oh, boy. Wow. Yeah, we had dinner the other night and, we love our Jell-O. And
we were having dessert
and we had a box of red and the cherry red and the lime also. And so Annie said, could you get dessert ready? And so I took the red box and I took the green box. I mixed them together. Oh. I made one. It was like a blue Jell-O. I don't even know what flavor it was, but I'll tell you, I brought that out of the table. Oh, we had a good laugh about that. Like, whoa, what's this Jell-O? It's crazy.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you ask me to get dessert. You don't even know what's going to come out of the kitchen, you know?
Are you perhaps too wild and unpredictable to be trusted to be president? Now I'm getting a little bit nervous about you.
Some people think so. They think, Mitzi.
No one thinks that.
He's crazy. It's going to be a laugh riot all the time at the White House with this guy. And
We need a steady hand in there, you know?
But I think I know when to pull it back. I think I knew when to be serious and when to let loose, but right. I just want to let people to know it can be a good time around the old Mitster. So
sounds like it, yeah.
So keep that in mind when you're in the voting booth, if you want to have a good time. Oh, yeah, I got a joke for you before I go.
Oh, a joke. Okay. I've never heard you tell a joke before.
Knock, knock.
Who's there? Who's there?
A black person.
Nope.
That's right. Yeah, you got it.
What?
Nope.
The answer's nope?
Yeah.
No, I was just...
I like you. You're my kind of guy.
Oh, no.
I like you.
That's not what he meant.
You're a funny guy.
I
yeah.
don't want to
I
be
might put
cousin.
You on the campaign.
Oh, no. Good morning, party people. It is a Monday morning, 6:48 on a Monday morning, to be exact. You are listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here in the world-famous K-Rock. The boys are on vacation for this whole week, but I will be here holding your hand, and we will get through it together. Together, we will conquer that hole in our heart that is Kevin and Bean missing.
There's no hole in our hearts.
No. We're going to play the best of Kevin and Bean or some bits that we've recorded.
Yeah.
To be more exact. Meanwhile, we do have brand new Showbiz Beats each and every hour, and you'll get to hear me talk about all morning long the fact that Ted came in at number one at the box office this weekend. That's right, the Seth MacFarlane comedy starring a stuffed bear who comes to life and talks to Mark Wahlberg a lot. Made $54 million this weekend. That is a record for an R-rated comedy, non-sequel. Best opening ever for an R-rated comedy. The Hangover previously had that record with $45 million. Now Ted has it with $54 million. So congratulations to Seth MacFarlane, everybody involved in the film. Could not be more proud to be part of that gang. Second at the box office was Magic Mike, and its debut made $39.2 million.
Magic Mike!
Stop it. Did you go see Magic Mike with all your squealing about last week?
Unfortunately, I was busy.
You
busy
didn't get a chance
weekend.
To see Magic
I
Mike?
Chance, no.
Brave was third. Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection, fourth at the box office, over $26 million. Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, was fifth. Then Abraham Lincoln, Prometheus, Moonrise Kingdom, Snow White, and The Huntsman, and People Like Us, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Shocking news over the weekend, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes are divorcing. News broke Friday after the show, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but she filed the petition for divorce the Thursday, the day before. Cruise publicist released a statement saying, Tom is deeply saddened and is concentrating on his three children. Please allow them the privacy to work this out. Nope. Katie apparently is filing for divorce. This is according to sources. Again, now take it with a grain of salt because no one probably really knows what's going on. But she is asking for sole custody of their daughter, Suri, in the divorce. So people are saying the main reason behind the split is Tom's dedication to Scientology. The fact that Suri is now 6 years old, he is going to start immersing her in the church. And Katie has some problems with that. So she wants to have sole custody of their daughter to protect her from the ways of that particular church. Now, there may be other reasons behind why Katie Holmes is divorcing Tom Cruise also.
Dad! Tom Cruise won't come out of the closet!
Mr. Cruise, come out of the closet!
I'm never coming out!
Mr. Cruise, you can't just stay in the closet, all right? You need to come out.
Just leave me alone!
Well, we can't leave you alone because you won't come out of the closet.
Just saying. Just saying. He likes closets, apparently, according to South Park. Alec Baldwin and his fiancée, Hilaria Thomas, got married this weekend at St. Patrick's Old Cathedral in New York City. Big star-studded event. Tina Fey was there, Woody Allen, Mariska Hargitay, his brothers, Stephen and Billy, of course. I think Alec Baldwin's had an assful of the press, and certainly the paparazzi, and if so, last week he got into a bit of a shoving match outside his apartment building because they were stalking him out there. And now I think he's quit Twitter. This morning he released a tweet that said, "It's been fun." And then when you go to find his page, it is gone. So apparently he's taken his account down.
Did
at least for
bitch?
The time being. I think he has quit this bitch.
Wow.
He's got married. Now he's checked out. He is gone. Johnny Depp and Vanessa Paradis, they're also splitting up. After 14 long years together, word is she is going to try to wreck his bank account. Mm. They never had a prenup because they never bothered to get married. So it looks like she could take him to court and try to get a hefty portion of his $350 million fortune. She, according to friends, thinks she sacrificed the better part of her career to raise their two children, Lily Rose and Jack. And now she thinks she's entitled to a little something-something because of it. So we'll have to wait and see. Elle McPherson's out of a job. She was the host of Fashion Star on NBC.
I love Fashion Star.
You know what Fashion Star was. It was the people who wanted to be designers. They would come out and...
Oh, yeah, and then their clothes comes out like at a Walmart or something.
Exactly, yes. In the back of a Walmart where you buy new batteries and tires. Yeah. They had the Fashion Star section.
Yeah.
Judges were Jessica Simpson, John Varvatos, and Nicole Richie. Well, Emma McPherson has been fired as the host of that show. The producers say they may not have a host at all for the second season, to which I say... Maybe just don't have a second season. And then everyone will be happier.
Yes.
Erin Andrews from ESPN.
Ding, ding.
She left ESPN last week, and no time at all. She's got a new gig. She'll be joining Fox Sports. She's got a new multi-year deal over there, and she's going to be making an S-ton of money. So good for her. And Jenna Jameson may have fallen on hard times. She may be too poor to afford her car. She got slapped with a lawsuit last month. The people at the Maserati Financial Services claim she hasn't made a payment on her leased Quadroporte S since last January, and they want the vehicle as soon as possible. They want the car back, and they want $107,000 in damages as well, because they say Jenna's not paying her bills.
Isn't she super successful?
I thought so.
With all the website stuff?
That's what I thought.
She started directing movies and
stuff?
Yeah.
But if she's poor, maybe she's got to get back to work. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. That's true.
It might work out for everyone.
Yep.
Didn't she just wrap herself around a pole?
What?
Didn't she have a car accident where she hit a pole or something? A DUI thing where she had to
You know, I don't remember. I'm not sure.
I was wondering if it's the leased car. Maybe she's like, okay, you can have it back now.
Exactly, yeah.
It's got a pole-shaped dent in the fender. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld is 65 years old today. Bassist Dave Parsons of Bush celebrates his 47th birthday. Singer Michelle Branch is 29. Ashley Tisdale from Health Cats. that's like a cartoon for kids that teach them about how to eat apples and exercise. The Health Cats. Hellcats and High School Musical. She is 27. And Lindsay Lohan, 26 years old today. Lindsay's still bellworthy, isn't she?
Yeah. She has her good days.
She has her good days.
And mostly bad.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We welcome to our studios Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill.
Yay!
What's going on, guys?
From the new movie.
21 Jump Street.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Jonah, were you afraid we weren't going to get to that? You think we forgot why you were here?
You were staring into my eyes, and I forgot for a second.
They're easy to get lost
in. We were on the radio, and I had to bring it back on target.
21 Jump Street is the name of the movie,
and
it comes out tomorrow.
We haven't seen it yet, but everyone that we talked to that has saying it's one of the funniest comedies they've seen in years.
Oh, man.
Oh, thanks,
how
man.
Awesome
That's
is that?
Huge.
Honestly,
huge.
We would not be up this early if it sucked. We would just be sleeping and just let them run the commercials. But that's how
smart.
Much we love it. That I mean, it's crazy, man. We wanted to make Bad Boys Meets a John Hughes movie, and... It's about two guys going back to high school thinking for the second time, thinking they have all the answers and realize they have none of the answers.
Yeah.
They get way more caught up in the social elements than the cop work. And It's just crazy.
When I
funny,
see
man.
You guys, I see me. If I were to do that, that's what I would be me. I would get yeah. lost in it, and I would make all kinds of mistakes, and I would run into all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, start drinking and doing drugs yes. with the kids, and yes. trying to sleep happened. With them, and all that.
But here's what happens from our standpoint as movie viewers: is we'll see a trailer and go, "That looks great," and then you go to a movie, and a lot
sucks.
Of times it sucks. It doesn't deliver.
You know what's
it
crazy? We're one of the best reviewed yeah. movies of the year.
That's unbelievable.
We're at 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, and we're a remake of an 80s TV show. Yeah.
Wait,
according to them, up to now, Channing's been a Rotten Tomato. And then now
the whole
he's,
time, bro.
Now he's a big, juicy,
every
fresh
movie
one.
You're in?
Not everyone, but generally.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Started to take it personally after a while?
No, I was just like, I've just kind of signed my fate over to it. I've been like, yeah, that's cool.
What are you
going to
do?
Me. It's fine.
It's just,
you know, here's the thing. When you first announced that you guys were doing it,
everyone rolls their eyes. Like, oh,
yeah, the
crap,
track record, of taking TV shows and yeah. trying to make especially comedies out of yeah. them has not been terrific.
One of the first jokes in our movie is about how lazy and unoriginal it is to take an old idea and recycle
it's
it.
Literally, yeah. That's great. It might be the first joke.
It's,
out,
it's like one of the biggest ones where the cop is telling us about the program 21 Jump Street that he's sending us back to, and he's like. Well, a lot of times these people are lazy and unoriginal and can't come up with ideas. So what we've done is we've recycled an old police program from the 80s.
That's got to be extra pressure going into it, knowing that some people, like you said, are going to roll their eyes. And
well, I was the first. You know, look, I've been with the movie for 5 years. I started writing it 5 years ago. And,
wow.
And from 23 to 28, I've been working on this movie.
I didn't know that you wrote it.
Yeah, we both produced it, and I'm one of the writers of the movie.
Fantastic.
And the originator of this version of the project. And for me, I was like, I don't want to remake a TV show. I think it's dumb. But getting to go back to high school and relive that time period, I'm like, that's a fun idea for a movie.
It's
that
awesome.
Could be a great action comedy like Bad Boys meets a John Hughes movie. And that's what 5 years later, we've made that. You
it's
know?
Also been a long time since 21 Jump Street. I mean, I never watched
long
that
time.
Show.
And I, to the I truth of it is like most people in their 20s and stuff like don't even know what,
right,
what
yeah.
21 Jump
Maybe
Street
it's a
is.
Footnote in Johnny Depp's career. People know he got his break on that, but that's
yeah,
all they know
yeah.
about.
And we have yeah. a lot of homages to the show, but we definitely did our own thing, you know, with the movie. And it's honestly, it's like a rock concert. It's so fun.
This has to be crazy for you if you worked on it for 5 years for tomorrow to be like
yeah.
giving birth.
It really is bizarre. I don't know if it's like exactly like giving birth. I haven't done it.
I haven't either. I haven't either.
I'll ask my mom
like
what it was
poop.
Like.
It's like a big poop.
Yeah, okay. Oh, thanks.
You've
thanks.
Done that,
okay.
right? Serious five-year-long constipation period, and it all comes out.
No,
that's
but
a
it's
a long time to work on a project.
It's a long time, and it's crazy because, you know, it's just crazy that it's actually coming out into the world tomorrow. And it's crazy that, like, you know, I think the real crazy surprise of the movie, besides it, you know, thinking a TV show movie's going to suck, is that it's actually good, is that Chan, you've never seen Channing do a big comedy and star in a big comedy, and he's just kills it in it, like destroys me. I've done a few comedies, whatever, but like he just crushes it, and it's such a surprise for people.
Thanks,
that, no, it's for real, and it's just, it's exciting to watch an actor do something you've never seen him
How
do.
How did you two get paired up with this?
I just called him up.
You
and
called
said,
him and said,
yeah.
You knew he'd be funny?
Yeah. How did you know he could be funny?
Yeah.
I don't believe in stuff like that. People outside of making movies have a harder time seeing what they haven't seen someone do.
Right.
But for me, it's like I had just gotten that opportunity with Moneyball to do a drama and got nominated for an Oscar and all this stuff.
Which I was so rooting for you to win, even though I kind of knew you were going
to.
Yeah,
you got to give it to Plummer. Come on.
So rooting
Thank
for you.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
But, and thanks for letting me come on and promote that.
Of
but,
course.
But it was someone had just given me a shot to do something that I had never done
before. Did you know
before.
At the time that Rotten Tomatoes hated him?
No. If you had known. Had I known.
You might have made a different choice.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring it up when he called me. I was going to be like, Jonas.
You know how Rotten Tomatoes
know Rotten Tomatoes thing.
But you know what? Comedies usually get horrible reviews anyway. And the fact that we're 88% on Rotten Tomatoes is pretty insane, man.
Like, that's nice of you to say that an actor can do both. But in fairness, comedy sometimes can be a little more difficult than a drama could be. And Chen, did you have any concerns when you were coming on?
Of course. Yeah, of course, of course. I actually made him promise me that I would be funny.
Or he'd beat me up.
Yeah.
That was exactly
what yeah. Look, jury's still
Make
out.
Me
see if anybody laughs. So Jonah's fate is in y'all's hands. No, man. I mean, he really did. He held my hand through it. And the directors, Chris and Phil, yeah, you know, they awesome. Come from the animation world. I had such a safe place to, like, really just try anything and fail sometimes.
Was it something that you knew inside you probably had, but you just hadn't?
No, you know, I really
Or did you doubt?
You know, he gave me a really good piece of advice in the beginning. He's like, don't try to be funny. Just believe it, and just like you would a normal, you know, a normal drama or whatever, and, you know, let the writing speak for itself. And then I really just sort of chased them along and tried to keep up with what they were doing.
Yeah, I think it's like, I don't know, I think when people try and be crazy funny,
yeah,
it ends up looking stupid. But if you just, he's so genuine in the movie that that's what makes it great, is that he's a real person and you believe our friendship and that the whole thing is real. That's what, like, Bad Boys is so great, is because you love those two guys together,
right,
and it doesn't feel like they're trying to be funny, yeah, doing like a shtick. It just feels like they're existing and what's happening is funny and the action's cool and you're just being honest. You know?
What kind of a weird world is it where Ice Cube is the head of the cops?
That was one of the first things we wrote, was like, we were like, who should play? Because every movie that we loved growing up, like Beverly Hills Cop and everything, had angry black captain.
Right.
So we were like, we got to have the angry black captain in our movie. And we're like, who should better to play him than the guy who wrote F the Police?
Right.
You know, like,
right,
that was a big joke that we wanted to have Ice Cube. And we called him up and he said yes. And it's just crazy for me to do this, because I was sitting with Mike Bacall, the other writer, you know, right? We were writing this stuff. And when we started calling people to do it, they just started saying yes. Like, it was just awesome.
When you're sitting there writing for the first 2 to 3 years, does it feel like...
that's something that just flashed back to sitting in a room.
I mean, does it feel like you don't have any idea if it's ever going to come to the screen? You don't know that it's going to be good. You don't know it's going to get 88%, but you're just writing out of faith.
As a matter of fact... The studio wanted it to happen every year.
Oh, they
didn't want it to take 5 years because it's a big property, so they knew they could make some cash off of it. But for me, it was like, I'm not going to do this and have it be bad.
Right.
So I was the one who kept saying, let's wait more time, give me more time. It's not ready yet. It's not ready. And that's why it took 5 years, because we got it right, I think.
At some point, did you have to say, okay, now I'm just going to stop because it's been too long. I could go on forever.
Yeah, honestly, some point you have to just push the train forward and then know it's time, you know.
So
but it has to be
now?
Close enough. Well, it's once it starts going, it's good. The movie's going. You're starting. You know, it's like the trucks show up and they set up the lights and someone yells action and then you're eventually going.
You're still in your trailer banging out scenes. Yeah. Wait a minute, I got another idea.
We did. Well,
that's
true.
True. Yeah,
I mean, I would write scenes like that day sometimes or rewrite them, you know.
Well, this looks fantastic. Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill are here. We're going to take a quick break and come back. 21 Jump Street opens tomorrow everywhere. Go see it or you're no... We have in the studio with us Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill from 21 Jump Street, which opens tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Besides you guys, the cast that you've assembled for this movie is just fantastic. Some of the funniest people working today. Just from the trailer, I see Offerman in there, Nick Offerman, who's just hilarious.
Offerman from Parks and Rec,
Jake
Ice
Johnson.
Cube.
Riggle, right? You got Rob Riggle in there?
Rob Riggle is...
How funny is
crazy
that guy?
Crazy.
I can't. You
from
will
Step
never,
Brothers.
Very rarely see me in like a three shot with these two, because I can't keep my stuff together.
Really?
Like,
I can't keep a straight face?
I crack up.
Yeah,
I
never had anyone make me break as hard as Rob does. Rob Riggle's genius.
Geniusly
man.
Funny. Yeah.
And
Lieutenant Colonel in the military too.
Yeah.
You mean he really was, or he is?
Yeah.
He
is. Is. Active
what?
Duty.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Rob Riggle?
Yeah. Straight up.
If you ever see his stand-up, he's got some great stuff about him being in the service.
What?
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah.
Still.
What?
Still active.
Kevin, stop asking that.
My head's exploding.
Ask and answer.
He's not only like the funniest guy, but he's like the greatest guy. And then Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec, Jake Johnson from New Girl, who's hysterical in the movie, Ellie Kemper from The Office, Ice Cube, obviously.
Sure.
Who else?
Davey Franco.
Oh, Dave Franco's really funny.
Brie Larson.
Oh, yeah, Brie Larson.
Man.
Great
this
cast.
Is going to be great.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
I'm
you shot it in New Orleans?
Yeah, we shot in New Orleans.
What was that like? What's New Orleans
like? I kind of remember shooting it in New Orleans.
I remember a good 6 hours. Yeah, I gotta say a good
the
six
first
hours.
Day, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then after that, it was like...
gets a little moonshiny.
Yeah, Channing found the moonshine hookup about one day into shooting.
Wait a minute. Time out.
He would just made in a still moonshine?
We would have jars of moonshine delivered to set, and it was just all downhill.
It was called Ducks Fly Low.
Really?
He would tell me that his daughter would draw
draw. He'd draw like a little duck on the thing with like X's for eyes and stuff. Like I was just like, that's dark, dude. But you're making this in your like in your bathtub at home. And we didn't go blind though. So that's
that's the upside. That's a positive.
Although I did have to get LASIK right after the movie. I'm serious.
Why?
His vision went.
Vision went. Literally went blind from drinking so much moonshine.
You know, you guys are both in the stage of your careers. You could probably afford to buy alcohol that's made, you know, in a factory.
But that's no
fun,
man.
That's no fun at all.
It was so fun. They would bring a jar. It'd be so fun. And it was like
a hand-drawn label.
Was it different each time?
Like
it was
totally different. Yeah. It's just a different buzz. Like,
yeah,
it's like
it's different.
It's like
it's
a
different.
Body. Like your body gets hot. Like I mean, you're just like, what is happening?
It's honestly
it sounds
the
like
best.
The flu.
Yeah, you're drinking. Yeah, you're drinking like you know the bird flu. Like,
as far as you know, you might be.
You're quite possible. Maybe that's what Ducks Fly Low was.
It was the dying ducks that fly low. Yeah. And they used that in the pressings.
It was the ducks with like mad cows.
What's the crazy thing about disease? The crazy thing about shooting in New Orleans is on Fridays you generally shoot from like about 5 PM till dawn. Mm-hmm. Like, so everyone on the entire crew in New Orleans would just go to the bar that would still be open and there would be people inside.
At like 8 a.m. At 8 a.m., yeah. People still drinking.
And you party till 12, so from 8 to 12, like noon, and then everyone's so fall down drunk and we're just like, all right, everybody go home and we'll meet right back here in 6 hours.
Was there a day when one of you couldn't make it? One day.
To work?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
Well,
to the bar?
There was one day where I lost my voice. That was really messed
up. Yeah, that was the closest. That was the closest to it, though.
But it was because...
You lost your voice because of the movie or because of the...
Just because of hard
moonshine.
Work and moonshine mixed together.
He burned his throat drinking no, Ducks Fly Low.
Yeah.
Drinking that duck juice. Voice.
But it was because there were certain moments where, like, the schedule shifted around where we didn't know we were shooting.
Oh, I see.
Like I would never be that irresponsible on purpose.
If you knew it.
Yeah, like right. I thought I had the day off or something.
I literally asked the director one day. I was like, hey, okay, so my, you know, some people came into town last night. What do we have up tomorrow? Oh, you just got this little scene, you know, you're in and out. Nope. We have like an 8-9 page scene. Oh. I've never been so hungover in my life doing a scene, and you can tell. Like,
can you? What are you doing in the scene? Can you tell us? So we
it's
can...
not in the movie.
Oh.
Did not make the final cut.
Well, you were about to tell me, and he jumped right in.
Well, it's basically not in the movie, but it's a really scaled down version of it. I was hurting, man. That was bad. It was really bad.
Maybe Rotten Tomatoes has a point. Maybe that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
That's that kind of behavior.
Maybe I should actually start drinking more. Because this is
the
first time that I've gotten good
but
reviews.
The moonshine. It's got to be the moonshine from that group that are making it in their tub. Well, I got to tell you, we totally appreciate you guys coming in. We're so happy.
It.
Cannot possibly wait for this movie to come out tomorrow. 21 Jump Street. You can follow on Twitter at Jonah Hill or at Channing Tatum. And go see the movie tomorrow.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for
honor to be here.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Love you guys.
Beer Mug's amazing.
Yeah.
He really is. He's back and he's better than ever. That week off has really sharpened him up. I bet he's got some rest and now he really knows his job. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. It is a Monday morning at 7:50 in the a.m. If you're going to work, you're late already. So hurry your ass up. Kevin and Bean are on vacation this week. However, I am still here doing live Showbiz Beats each and every hour, along with my good friends, DJ Omar Khan, and then there's Beer Mug. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We take a look every Monday morning. This is a particularly fun one to report because my friends who put together a little film called Ted have the number one slot this weekend, $54 million for Seth MacFarlane and company for their hilarious comedy about the talking teddy bear with Mark Wahlberg and Mila Kunis. Ted, number one at the box office, breaking a record that was previously held by The Hangover for original R-rated comedy for the best opening ever. They had $45 million in The Hangover's opening weekend. Ted, $54 million. So that's better.
No.
Yes. Magic Mike, number two at the box
Magic
office.
Mike!
Stop it. $39.2 million. Then Brave, Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection, Madagascar 3. Abraham Lincoln, Prometheus, Moonrise Kingdom, Snow White and the Huntsman, and People Like Us. In its debut weekend, made just $4.3 million for the new Chris Pine movie. That made it number 10 at the box office this weekend. The San Diego Comic-Con, right around the corner. Very exciting. I will be down there all weekend long, broadcasting from San Diego Thursday. I think then Kevin and Bean will join me on Friday. We'll be doing the show down there
live on Friday. And then through the weekend, we'll be getting interviews and talking about all the celebrities and all the geek stuff that's going on down at the Comic-Con. If, you, like me, you're a fan of Firefly, you'll be happy to know they're doing a 10th anniversary reunion panel at this year's San Diego Comic-Con on July the 13th. You can check that out with Nathan Fillion and the rest of the cast. And if you've never seen the series, here's your chance to catch up. They're doing an all-day marathon on a channel called Science.
Science!
Yes, I don't know if you know the Science Channel or not. Apparently it's one of the Discovery Networks. But Science on 4th of July is doing an all-day Firefly marathon. So you get to see all the episodes of Captain Mal Reynolds and his spaceship crew. Check it out. It's a great series. I really liked it. It's a cult classic. People who know it really love it. Sadly, didn't last very long. They did a motion picture based on it called Serenity that you can check out. But I just wanted to give you a heads up. If you're thinking of going down to Comic-Con and you want to see Firefly before you see the panel, here's your chance. Also, I'll be doing the Hollywood Babylon show with Kevin Smith down there at Comic-Con this year at the Hollywood Babylon. No, sorry. Hollywood Babylon is the name of the show. The House of Blues is the name of the place. Yeah, so it's HBO at the HOB, which is why it's confusing for me. Yes. So go come see us at 11 o'clock on Saturday night down there if you're going to be in San Diego. We'd love to say hi. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes splitting up. News broke late last Friday that she had filed petition for divorce the day before. Apparently the reason, the main reason behind the split is Scientology. This is according to TMZ sources. That Cruise is now going to start immersing Suri into the church now that she's 6 years old. And so Katie Holmes has filed not only for divorce, but also in the state of New York because she is more likely to get solo custody of their child. They have a prenup agreement, which means that Katie will be getting about $15 million at the end of their marriage. And then, of course, probably getting more child support.
I know that it's about you. You go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere and then you sign a huge check. And if you don't, they'll kill you.
That's exactly what Scientology is. Once again, perfect. James Franco, he's not just dreamy. He is getting his PhD from Yale University this month. Congratulations, James Franco. He just joined the staff of Playboy magazine. He has started his new column for Playboy. You can read that in the July-August issue.
What's he going to be writing about?
I don't know. We'll have to pick up the issue and take a read. But I know he's been in talks for some time about playing Hugh Hefner in a movie about his life.
I can see that.
So maybe there is some relationship there. He's working with Hef trying to get behind the bunny curtain there and see what goes on really in the magazine.
It's a good curtain to get behind.
It is. Elle McPherson. She's lost her job as host of Fashion Star. Oh, that show's just not going to be the same without her.
No, it's not.
I never knew there was a show called Fashion Star until I just read that story this morning. And Jenna Jameson has some issues with finances. A company called Maserati Financial Services is asking the former porn actress to return a car she's leased called the Quadro Sport S. It's a beautiful Italian motor vehicle. She apparently has not made a payment since January, and they would like her to return the car and also... How about $107,000 in damages as well? So things may be tough financially for the queen of porn.
I sort of have a boner.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld turned 65 years old today. Bassist Dave Parsons of Bush is 47. Singer Michelle Branch celebrates her 29th birthday today. Actress Ashley Tisdale from Hellcats and High School Musical, she's 27. And Lindsay Lohan is just 26 years old today. Boy, she has packed a lot of abuse into 26 years. How do you celebrate your birthday if you're Lindsay Lohan? When every day is just a wash and a sea of drugs and fornication and...
Just celebrate with a bottle of Avion.
Yeah,
just
really?
Some water.
Sip some seltzer and get a massage. Yep. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7
Hey!
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Easy, you just scared Tim.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's full on.
Come Tim Minchin is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We saw him Saturday night at April Foolishness. Hi, Tim. Welcome, my friend.
Hi, thanks for having me. Did I survive April Foolishness? Was it okay
we
from your
you
point
great.
Of view?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Here's... I put you on the spot a bit there, really. You weren't exactly going to say
No, we would like. I'm just grateful you're wearing shoes today. Now, what is the deal with you performing barefoot? Do you know how many people have thrown up on the stage at the Gibson?
Well, that's it. I feel like I need to get in touch with the performers who have come before me. And the best way to do that is to infuse a little bit of their vomit through the soles of my feet. The soul,
interesting.
It's the only soul I've got.
Well, then you use what you have. We were so happy that you were able to come out for this because I could be wrong about this, but I don't feel like you're in America all the time.
No, I'm not. I prefer other geographies. No, yes. my children and my wife are in London, and so there's a certain sort of social obligation.
Understood.
To
yes.
be there.
Of
yeah.
course. So we were so grateful that you were able to join us. And, of course, you know, we love to mix up the bill every year for April Fool's. Since we kind of I think there was only one returning performer from last year, and that was Jim Jeffries. So, you know, some people, you know, a lot of people there have never seen you before. So
yeah.
we're fans. We know you're great, but we don't know how it's going to go over that night when you step up, especially somebody like you who's doing something totally different, something that, you know, you really have to kind of pay attention to.
Yeah,
to
you,
get to.
You guys took a bit of a risk.
A little
know?
Bit of a
but
risk.
But then again, if you're getting Jim Jeffries back for the second year in yeah. a row, you're probably pretty good with risk.
Yeah. I had somebody leave during Jim Jeffries and say, don't laugh at this. And yeah. I was like, I find this funny as hell.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, as a performer, you're coming on. You came on right after Brad Williams, right?
The yeah, midget? That was really, really hard.
Okay, so Brad Williams, a midget.
He's not a midget. He's a dwarf, but he calls himself a midget.
He calls himself a midget.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah, it is. And Little People of America hate him. They
yeah.
picket him and everything. So he's out there, and he killed. I mean,
yeah,
he really
absolutely
super high
stormed,
energy,
yeah.
running back and forth across the stage.
Ends up doing a topless lap dance for Lisa May.
yeah.
Everybody loves him, and then they bring out the piano, and then your pacing is so yeah. unbelievably the opposite of
yeah.
what happened. Were you worried about that pacing?
No, I actually, as I was watching him, I was thinking, oh, God, this is going to be really hard to follow, but... But I had already planned to do my song Cont before I
That's
went
Cont,
on.
Cont, for those who are getting nervous, C-O-N-T.
C-O-N-T. And I, that has to start very awkwardly.
Right.
And actually, that was perfect because
oh, I see.
If you have someone storming before you, if you come out at the same level, all you're trying to do is compete. But I came down and got everyone just sort of... into a completely different headspace so that I could take it from where I wanted to take
yeah,
it sort of thing.
You did, and I'll tell you why, because we were sitting down in the crowd and I was like, what the F is he doing?
Well, I was talking about statistics.
But you clearly had your plan. You're very patient with your comedy and your looks, and sometimes it's just an eye. And I thought to myself, I would be inclined if I were him to try and compete with Brad.
Try to ramp it up a little bit,
but
right?
But you were brilliant.
Yeah.
I
was
going to
cut my legs off and come on, but that's too much.
You did say coming on after Brad, oh, what I wouldn't give for a gimmick like that.
Yeah, which was a bit person. Harsh. It was meant to be a joke about myself, but it sounded like I was
no,
just picky on the little guy.
No, it was
he
funny.
Could take it.
Got to say though, Brad is how old is he? He's pretty.
He's about 27
or
something.
He's really, really funny.
He I mean, is
so charismatic.
I was
he's
trying.
Relentless.
I was trying to pay him to go out and hump Larry King's leg.
Yeah,
I thought that would be funny.
Surely you wouldn't have to pay him to do that.
I wouldn't have, but I got stopped by the yeah. people that were there.
Aww.
Come on, that's just
really
some,
boring.
That's
Larry,
just some good fun, right?
Yeah. Why does Larry King have legs if
right.
they're not for humping?
Right. Thank you.
His legs are made for humping.
you have the performer's intuition on how to read the room, and you play him like a violin. That's what's amazing is you take it to the point where I feel like he's going to lose him, and then you manage to pull him back along with you, which is just remarkable to watch.
Well, what I've decided, because I came to comedy through music, and that
oh, you were a musician first?
Yeah, before? Yeah, long, long before. I mean, I only started comedy when I was about 30, a bit earlier, and what I realized early on, because I never did the clubs or anything, I just sort of started doing these cabaret shows, basically, and they ended up in theaters, and I just went from there. So I never got that pressure you get when you're a stand-up comic of every Friday, Saturday night, you're doing hens parties and bucks
right.
parties and stuff, and you have to do jokes that go, I had my space. I've always mm-hmm. had my space. And long ago, I thought, wherever I am in the world, you know, I tour in the US and Australia and Britain, wherever I'm just going to do what I do completely without taking into account anybody else, including which audience it is.
Right.
And it's a good philosophy, you know, because there'll be you shouldn't ever condescend to your audience. Like, my stuff's quite wordy and nerdy and stuff. And the audience might be laughing hysterically at a little dude with no shirt on humping a woman's leg.
Which they were.
But that doesn't mean that they are only that. You've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I came straight out and started talking about p-values. And they all laughed. You should never presume an audience can't get what you've got.
I don't even know what a p-value is, but I think it involves urine.
Yeah, it's something to the value of excretion. Yeah.
Tim Minchin is here, by the way. He's got a very busy time in Southern California. You are at the Largo, of course, tonight and tomorrow night, and those are already sold out. Then you're going up to Santa Barbara and then down to San Diego. But the important thing for our listeners is free Tim Minchin at the Amoeba store tomorrow night.
Really?
6 o'clock.
Awesome.
6 o'clock. Have you been over to Amoeba yet?
I haven't, no.
It's the largest record store in America.
I've heard it's absolutely amazing.
It's incredible.
Did you not know you were going to be there, or that it's free?
Which part is it? I'm putting my hat out now. They might think it's free.
Which part three?
You're going to be performing about a 30-minute performance on the little performance space. And by the way, it's a great space. Everybody from Lana Del Rey to Paul McCartney has performed over there. It's really, really fun.
It's about time they stepped it up and had me on.
Exactly,
it,
right? And that's going to be at 6
all
o'clock.
Those schlubs.
And then you're going to be following with a signing. And I am so excited to see that your very first U.S. CD-DVD combo is finally available here. I mean, your stuff has been available in other territories for a long time.
Yeah, it's been for a couple of years. Americans have had to steal my stuff or not have it, and mm-hmm.
We've stolen.
I respect that course of action. But now, if you want to throw some money at something,
it's called Ready for This, and they've got it for sale. I was down in Amoeba yesterday. They got it for sale. It's $12 or something like that.
Awesome.
For the CD and the DVD.
Amazing,
and it is outstanding. So meet Tim, watch Tim perform, get an autograph from Tim. That'll be at the Amoeba Record Store in Hollywood. That's at Sunset and Cahuenga. That'll be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. All right, we're going to send you off into the other room, and I think you're actually going to try to perform live at an ungodly hour of the morning.
I'm gonna play a song from Ready for This. Yeah,
this fantastic. Is going to be a treat. Tim Minchin is here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You can go to timminchin.com or follow him on Twitter at Tim Minchin. We'll be right back with more on The Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday after April Foolishness 2012, which was Saturday night at the Gibson. Thanks again to everybody who came out and made it such a success. By the way, a complete recap available for you at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. All sorts of pictures. Do we get a video of the lap dance? By the way,
I'm not positive.
Complete recap of everything that you missed. I'm already so excited about next year. Tim Minchin is here. Tim was one of the stars of Saturday night. I think you won over a lot of new fans, Tim, on Saturday night.
Thanks. Good. That's good. I need them.
And you're going to be at the Amoeba Record Store tomorrow night at 6 o'clock performing live, and you are going to be performing for us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, I love your stuff, been a fan for a while, but I don't know what you have that's radio-friendly. What are you going to come up with here?
So am I allowed to swear at the Amoeba?
Yes, you can do whatever you want at the Amoeba, yes.
Say half an hour, Jesus. So I probably won't do this one there, because this is one I wrote a little while ago because I never had anything I could do on radio.
Okay.
And I thought I should write something nice for radio, and I got together with the woman I'm now married to when I was 17, so she's kind of, you know.
Wow.
It's kind of my one true love, you know, so I thought I'm going to write a song for my Sarah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's very sweet.
So it's a love song.
It's a love song, and it's called If I Didn't Have You.
Oh, that's
beautiful.
If I didn't have you to hold me tight, if I didn't have you to lie with that night, if I didn't have you to share my sighs and to kiss me and dry my tears when I cry, well, I really think that I would have somebody else. Someone else would do. Your love is one in a million. You could buy it at any price. But of the 9.99900,000 other possible loves, statistically, some of them would be equally nice. Or maybe not as nice, but say smarter than you, or dumber but better at sport, or colouring. I'm just saying I'm probably, if I were a rich man, diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle- lethal exhibitionist heiress to a large chain of hotels. If I were a rich man, maybe I would fiddle little with the rich man girls. I'm not saying that I'd not love you if I were wealthy or handsome, but realistically, there's lots of fish in the sea, and if I had a different rod, I would conceivably land some. Even though I am fiscally consistently pitiable and considerably less Brad Pitt than Brad Pitiful, am I really so poor and ugly that you think only you could possibly love me? And I think I'd probably look, I'm not undervaluing what we we got when I say that given the role chaos inevitably plays and the inherently flawed notion of fate, it's abstruse to deduce I found my soulmate at the age of 17. It's just mathematically unlikely that at a university in Perth I happen to stumble on the one girl on earth specifically designed for me. And if I may conjecture a further objection, love is nothing to do with destined perfection. The connection is strengthened, the affection simply grows over time, like a flower or a mushroom or a guinea pig or a vine or a sponge or bigotry or banana. And love is made more powerful by the ongoing drama of shared experience and the synergy of a kind of symbiotic empathy or something like that. So I trust it goes without saying that I would feel really very sad if tomorrow you'd have fall off something high or catch something bad. But I'm just saying, I don't think you're special. I mean, I obviously think you're special, but you fall within a bell curve. I mean, I'm just saying, I think you are unique and beautiful. You make me happy despite being around. But objectively, you would have to agree that, baby, when I found you, options are relatively thin on the ground. You're lovely, but there must be girls as lovely as you and maybe more open to spanking or table tennis. I'm just saying, I reckon it's pretty likely that if, for example, my first girlfriend Jackie hadn't dumped me after I kissed Winston's ex-girlfriend Nia at Steph's party back in 1993, enough variables would probably have been altered by the absence of that event to have meant the advent of a tangential narrative in which we don't meet. Which is to say there exists a theoretical, hypothetical, parallel life where what is not as it is, and I'm not your husband and you are not my wife. And I am a stuntman living in LA, married to a small blonde Portuguese skier who, when she's not training, does abstract painting, practices yoga and brews her own beer, and really likes making home movies and suffers neck down alopecia. Just a little bit of isolated hair loss. But with all my heart and all my mind, I know one thing is true. I have just one life and just one love, and my love, that love is you. And if it wasn't for you, darling, you, yeah, I think I'll almost definitely have somebody else. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
All right, that's insane. Tim, how long does it take a guy to write a song like that?
I don't know. I remember. It was a little while ago.
I mean, do they just flow out of you once you sit down and have the concept, or does it take months to come up with that many lyrics?
Those songs, like doing Sudokus, you know, they're like you have an idea and then you have a framework and then you just have to relentlessly fill in bits and
the people who know this show and know Bean and I know that I couldn't do that if I sat down and had a lifetime.
Look, if Tim put the lyrics in front of you, you couldn't read it out loud and not screw it up. That's unbelievable. Do you ever lose track of where you are when you have that many lyrics?
Well, it's pretty scary doing radio because that backing track goes and goes and goes.
Yes. If I lost, you can't improv it, right?
I wouldn't be able to get back in.
Oh, sure.
Because it's circular. So if I lost the lyrics, then I'd just have to go.
Let me start again.
I just screwed up on radio. Whereas in my live shows, I can always get away with it because I can just get up and make a bit of chaos. But you have to learn it. Pretty hard.
It was unbelievable.
And how's the little woman feel about it? Is it the tribute love song that she always hoped to hear from her dear husband?
I'm not sure she thought it was very funny when she first heard it.
is Jackie real?
Jackie's real. They're all real. Oh. Everything's real. But it's very romantic, actually, that song.
Nope. It's not really.
Yeah, no, it really is.
By the way, it's so funny you should say that, and I know we probably don't have time to get into this. There are two types of people in the world. There are people who believe we're soulmates. Thank God we found each other of all the people on earth because we're the only two people who could ever be happy together.
Yeah.
And then there's guys like me and presumably you who go, if it hadn't been her, it would have been somebody else.
Yeah, but that's more meaningful because you're actually choosing to be with someone. If you think that some divine being put you together, then when your marriage starts being imperfect, you're like, oh, where did this come from? A bit of reality allows space for more romance.
And that's what you're trying to promote with that song.
Yeah, I'm all my songs, I've got this sort of
preachy rationalist bent to my show. So if you,
Of your songs, here's what I love about you the most. All of your songs are so insulting and wrong, and then they turn, and then they're wrong, and then they turn, and then they're wrong.
Like, but I'm never wrong.
Never.
I'm always right.
But have you ever run into any problems, Tim? And this is the voice of Tim Minchin here on the Kevin and Bean. So if you tune in the middle of that phenomenal song and thought, what's going on? Why is the Kevin and Bean show suddenly smart? Have there ever been critics of your comedy who have taken parts of your songs out of context and tried to pin that on you?
I had a song that I recorded for a Christmas show of a late night show in England called Late Night with Jonathan Ross. He's like our Letterman.
Right.
And I recorded it for, I wrote it for them and recorded it. And it was called Woody Allen Jesus. And it was comparing Jesus to all these sort of contemporary things like Komodo dragons and stuff and Superman. And they pulled it at the last minute because they were scared they would offend people.
Yeah.
And then the right wing, the conservative press got hold of it and put my lyrics in their paper. And the whole point about musical comedy is that you're sitting there playing a piano and you can get away with murder because you're like, look at my, you know, I've got clever fingers. Forgive me. Like, but my lyrics printed on paper in a conservative newspaper, that's just,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if you quote them absolutely word for word.
Yes.
It's still out of context.
You're still right. Al-Qaeda to them, right?
Exactly, because the context is me sitting at a piano and my audience watching me, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, I get in a bit of trouble, but mostly I just play for the people who want to come and see me. I'm mostly a live act. I don't do a huge amount of telly. So people who like me, come and see me, and we all have a hot time. And if you don't like me being mean about Jesus, don't come to my show.
Well, you're sold out at the Largo tonight and tomorrow night. I suspect the next time you come back to Southern California, you're going to be playing a reasonable-sized venue that lots of people are going to want to come to see you, I would imagine.
Well, I think so.
Largo's pretty small, dude.
Largo's small, but we could have done bigger venues in L.A., but there's something very cool. Every time, this is about my seventh Largo show, every time I come back, I sell out the Largo in a flash, and people go,
'cause 10 people can go.
Yeah, right. Yes, but I'm keeping myself scarce. I'm like truffles. You have to be a pig to find me.
Plus, it's not hard to sell out, so you can always go ahead and sell it out.
Well,
every
that's
time.
Exactly right. Yeah.
The Amoeba show is free and open to the public. Make yourself time tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Tim is going to be performing for about a half an hour or so there on their performance stage, and then he's following that up with a signing. You could also go by and buy Ready for This, Tim's first U.S. DVD/CD release. If you can't make it in person, of course, that's available online through, you know, Amazon, or get it through iTunes or wherever you prefer to get your music. And it's well worth it. I mean, it's just an hour just jam-packed of hilarious stuff. Tim, so great to get to meet you in person, man. Thank you so much for Saturday night. We really enjoyed it.
I had an absolute ball at the show, and thanks for having me on.
We had a great, great, great lineup without you, and you made it even better. So
awesome. I was extraneous, but cool.
Adam Carolla in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then your chance to win tickets in the We're Better Than You section of the sold-out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2012. By the way, just briefly, looking ahead toward tomorrow on the program, documentary filmmaker Morgan Spurlock is going to be here. He's always a lot of fun. Jennifer Love Hewitt on the program tomorrow.
Yeah.
What about that?
Nice.
Let's get right to that. Happens to be on the cover of this month's Maxim magazine. Not that we notice things like that. Jason Biggs is going to be here from American Reunion, and Allison Hannigan, too. Plus, we got the Movie Bee and your final chance to win tickets for our April Foolishness. All that tomorrow, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Gene, you're comfortable making theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking wait while you talk?
Yeah, what's he going to do? Come after me? Seriously.
That's a good point.
Very few people I could beat in a foot race, but Dr. Hawking is one of them. The Big Bang Theory tonight on CBS welcomes a special. Hi, Professor. How are you?
Hello, Kevin and Bean.
Hi. Thanks for joining us. I was just telling the folks that you're going to be on CBS tonight on The Big Bang Theory. It's very rare that we get a chance to see you on television.
That's right. I am taking new steps towards my new career as actor.
Oh, you want a career as an actor?
That's right. With my looks and my talent, I can't help but be a TV star.
I'm worried that you might be limited in some of the roles that you could take on, though, sir.
Oh, really? Bitch?
Well, I mean, for instance, no roles that involve any kind of athleticism, for instance, you know?
I have many opportunities afforded me.
Like
in
what?
In fact, CBS is putting me on their hit show, Big Bang Theory.
Right.
As a trial balloon to see what other CBS TV shows I might be right for.
Oh, I see. So this is just step one tonight.
Yes. I will be co-starring on many shows as a test to see what show I can be the star of.
Okay.
Okay, but tonight on Big Bang Theory, though, I mean, you are playing yourself. It's not exactly a demanding acting job, right?
Yes, but I will be playing other roles on other shows.
Like what?
Okay.
Like
okay.
What? Other?
Two and a Half Men.
Uh-huh.
One in a Chair.
Okay.
Other new CBS shows I could star in. Wheels of Engagement.
That's Rules of Engagement.
Not when I star
I
in
see.
It.
Okay. All right.
NCIS-ALS.
That's just sad.
Mike and Molly and Steve. Story of two fat people and one guy in a wheelchair.
I'm not sure that adds anything, but all right.
Two broke legs.
Oh, see, because that's... Come on. I vote for that one.
How I Rolled Up to Your Mother. The only good show CBS won't put me on is Still Standing.
Oh.
Hey, party people, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:48 in the morning. My name is Ralph Garman. I do the showbiz beat here on Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation, so you're listening to the best of. However, I am here all week long, each and every hour, to bring you the latest and greatest in show business news, including this news that is just breaking this morning. Shocking news. If you're currently eating your breakfast, you have a sharp utensil near your mouth or face, please put it down, because I think you may stab yourself.
Wow.
Upon hearing
that
this.
That's serious.
It's shocking. It is. No one saw this coming. TV newsman Anderson Cooper has Friday that she filed on Thursday of last week. Cruz's publicist released a statement saying Tom is deeply saddened and is concentrating on his three children. Apparently, he was blindsided by the news. The reason behind the divorce, according to sources who talked to TMZ.com, Katie Holmes is concerned now that their daughter, Suri, is 6 years old. Tom will start immersing her into the Church of Scientology, and Katie is wigged out by that idea. And so she's looking to get sole custody of their daughter. That's why she filed in New York. Well, let's follow that story and see what happens. But she must really be scared of Scientology.
Yeah, I just figured she would join the church and she was clear.
She never really bought into it. Mm. She had ties to the church, of course, naturally because her husband is such a very active member. But by all accounts, she went along well enough but never really jumped in hook, line, and sinker. And now I think she's having second thoughts.
So weird.
Now that her daughter is coming of age.
Yeah.
So, I think fear for your kids will make you do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Even get out of a marriage.
Yeah.
She's going to make about $15 million in the prenup settlement, according to people who know what that deal was. So,
not too shabby.
Yeah, at least she'll be taken care of.
Yeah.
It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one at the box office, a little movie called Ted, about a talking teddy bear. Seth MacFarlane wrote and directed this film. I happen to be in just the first 10 minutes of this movie, and I like to think it's that first 10 minutes that raked in the $54 million that made it the number one movie at the box office this weekend. People paid their money just to see me in the first 10 minutes. A lot
that
of them,
guy. What do you need him for?
Because apparently you need me to start the film. That's what you need. And then I guess a lot of people left right after the first 10 minutes. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing.
Oh, okay.
That's the buzz on the streets. Congratulations to everyone involved with Ted. $54 million made it number one this weekend. Magic Mike was number two.
Magic Mike!
Stop it. $39.2 million. Brave was third. Tyler Perry's Madea, his new Madea movie, Madea's Witness Protection, was fourth. Madagascar, three. Abraham Lincoln, Prometheus, Moonrise Kingdom, Snow White and the Huntsman. And then People Like Us, in its debut, the new Chris Pine drama, family drama, came in at number 10 with only $4.3 million this weekend. Cher is in trouble. That's right. I said Cher. I've got Cher news.
Is she in trouble with the law?
No, what? She's in trouble with the Mormons.
Oh, well, she did in the Mormons.
Well, she made a tweet about President Obama in the upcoming election saying that Obama needs to get his ducks in a row in terms of getting the country back on track in order to stay in the White House. Or, she tweeted, we'll be stuck with the whitest man in magic underwear. Now, here's the thing. That's a reference to Mitt Romney, of course, who is a Mormon. And he reportedly wears those formal garments in their religion called the celestial underwear, it's called. She called it magic underwear. According to the Mormons, calling it magic underwear is offensive. And so the Mormons got very angry with Cher and proceeded to say all sort of nasty things about her and her son, Chaz Bono, who, of course, is transgendered. So they really showed their classy side by attacking a guy who was transgendered and had the operation.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
I think that's right? What Cher's point is. Absolutely. And congratulations to Erin Andrews. She was out of work for about 4 days. She left ESPN last week and immediately announced she's joining Fox Sports. They've got her in a new multi-year deal over there they signed this weekend. She was a big star for ESPN for about 8 years. She's going to host Fox's new primetime college football pregame show, as well as do various shows for the network's football, baseball, and other sports broadcasts as well. So congratulations to Erin Andrews. Is
she going to do any of them in the hotel room?
I hope so.
Yeah,
hope she's ironing in the nude again. I don't know if you checked that this weekend on Sci-Fi, but they had the big Bigfoot movie with Barry Williams from the Brady Bunch and Danny Bonaduce from the Partridge Family. Anybody check out the Bigfoot movie this weekend?
I missed that one entirely.
You fools. You fools. You don't know what you were missing.
How was it?
It was awful. but in a good way.
Yeah,
you know,
in
that
in
the kind of awful way you get down and you roll around in it and say, oh, that feels good. Glad that's over. Today's celebrity birthdays: Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld fame is 65. Dave Parsons of Bush turns 47 years old today. Singer Michelle Branch is 29. A lot of people emailing me and tweeting me saying, Michelle Branch, you get a bell. Any consensus on that? She's attractive, right?
Dave says not really, no.
No, she's not really bell-worthy? Yeah. Right. We're going to have to stand by no bell then. She's 29 years old. Ashley Tisdale from Hellcats and High School Musical. She had the old nose in High School Musical and then the new nose in Hellcats. Yeah. She is 27 years old. And Lindsay Lohan is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I'm just saying that in an hour from now, when we talk to Taylor Kitsch, the star of John Carter, Beer Mug, you are not allowed to ask him for a recap of what happened in his 5 seasons on Friday Night Lights, okay? You just have to let that go. You missed it.
But what if people want to know?
Okay, that's not the time to do it when you run into someone from Friday Night Lights 5 years. The show is on the air. It's already canceled. Stop it.
Can he ask you, what are the surprises in John Carter that people won't know about? Can he tell us what those are?
Those are the kinds of questions he asked. Anyway, we'll talk to Taylor coming up. Also, we have tickets for you to join us for April Foolishness. Dr. Drew on the show today and Andrew W.K. all coming up here today on K-Rock.
It's time to make fun of Bean. Make fun of Bean.
Again.
So, let's make fun of Bean for a minute. Bean is an adult. I know. And after the story, you're going to really wonder.
All right.
He says yesterday, and don't write to us, listener. We do that on purpose. I might have to go to the doctor today, guys. I might have to go to the doctor.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were like, wow, what happened? And he said, I don't know. I feel like somebody's stabbing me in the arm with a knife.
Ouch. Did you check for an actual knife, an actual person?
Wouldn't that be funny if there was a knife hanging out?
That's what I would check first.
Where was it? Being your arm, your shoulder? What was it?
Yeah, it's my right shoulder is what it is.
You know? Right shoulder, okay. So it feels like the knife stabbing in it. That's bad, right?
That's a pain you don't want.
Right, so... He says I might have to go to the doctor. And I say, okay, well, how long has this been going on, you know? Because usually my limit is 2 or 3 days. If something doesn't go away after 2 or 3 days, you go to the doctor and
Absolutely.
Get checked out. 6 months.
I'm sorry, how much time now?
6 months.
6 months of stabbing knife pain in the shoulder.
And I says to him, I says, why would you not go till now? And he says, and I swear to God, he said this, I don't like to go to the doctor.
Yeah! Really? That's so weird because I love
Me
it.
Me too.
Most people I know enjoy going to the doctor.
Here's what's weird.
I go and just ask for a prostate exam.
Yeah.
And here's what's weird. I have little girls that I am raising, which I know scares you all, and it
Did
should.
Did they just give them to you?
It should. No, but they're super young.
Playing poker.
But they're super young, and they say they don't want to go to the doctor. And
Kids
I say,
hate going to doctors.
And I say, of course you don't want to go to the Nobody wants to go to the doctor, but if you don't, it'll get worse. So you have to anyway, regardless. It doesn't matter what you want.
Right.
I'm teaching my little girls that.
Yes.
Right. As an adult, you understand that concept, and you just grit your teeth, and you just bear it, and you go into the doctor.
Even if you're scared of the doctor, and you don't like going, right. I can understand that. But a month into having a knife in your shoulder...
You think this is a serious problem.
Okay. It's been going on for 3 or 4 weeks.
So what finally turned it for you? Was it the numbness in your fingers that you're now experiencing?
Now he's getting numbness in his fingers and everything's getting worse.
Is that where you finally drew the line?
All right. If I can weigh in for some context
of this
character assassination.
Let me just
finish. Come on, lefty.
I'd like to just give one other example before you weigh in. You know that thing with his belly button?
Yeah, the herniated belly button.
10 years. That went on.
I had what?
That went on for 10 years. Not as painful, but that went on.
The giant, hideous
growth
tumor-like belly button.
He knew for 10 years he needed to do something about it and didn't until the pain was so bad that he finally had to.
10 years?
Do you know why?
Doesn't like to go to the doctor.
Doesn't like to go to the doctor.
Wow, what a child. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
In the belly button case, it was getting so much worse
that my favorite Perry Mason episode.
I feared that it was going to explode, which it can do. That was the impetus.
That's what happens when you let something go for 10 years that you should have taken care of by a doctor.
I would fear that at 1 month or two. I don't know that I could make a year, let alone five, let alone 10 years.
So I did get in, and I got the surgery done, if you'll recall, and it's been fine ever since. And now I have a model good-looking belly button. All right.
Yeah. Look at that doctor fixing you.
The thing with the arm is, it hasn't been 6 months. It's actually been about four, but it's...
I'm sorry. I exaggerated.
Case dismissed.
I don't know what I did. I don't remember a specific incident. I just remember that sometime last fall, it started to hurt. And then it started to hurt more, and it started to hurt more, and it just got progressively worse. But, you know, I just figured, and I don't think this makes me stupid. I think this makes me maybe optimistic. I just figured, hey, if I'm careful with it, if I don't re-injure it, it'll probably heal on its own. That's what I expected to happen.
Not after a month.
We've all pulled things, though.
Right.
And, you know,
and a week later, it goes away.
Yes, that's what I hoped.
After a month, there is a problem.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Time does – you can wait out most injuries. You
that's
wait
what
about
I'm trying to do.
For 3 to 5 days, basically.
That's it for me.
If
that's
you get injured, 3 to 5 days, if it still hurts that bad, you go, oh, man, I got to go to the
something.
Doctor.
I did something ruptured. I need further medical assistance.
4 months ago, and he hasn't gone to the doctor yet.
And it's been serious pain, right?
It has been serious pain. And in the last month, it has gotten to the point where it is – almost impossible for me to lift that arm above my head. So it's I mean, you should see me try to get dressed and undressed. It's crazy. And try to take a shower and all the stuff where you need to lift your arm, right? It's been really, but what's happened this past 2 weeks is the numbness in the fingers and now it's not even when I'm moving it or using it. It's just literally, it's almost impossible just to lay down in a bed because it does feel like there's somebody has a screwdriver and it's just twisting it as hard as he can, right?
So,
and that's all night, every night, and it really hurts.
All right, let me just stop you right there.
This is your defense.
Let me stop you right there, if you don't mind. Okay, just the last 2 weeks alone, if when you lay down, it feels like somebody's turning a screwdriver in your shoulder.
Right.
Halfway through that, you go, "I have a problem. I should go to the doctor." That's without the 4 years before.
It's funny you said that because I did go on WebMD, so I did take care of it.
That's not a doctor.
It's not like it's time to make fun of me. Make fun of me.
I'm glad you went on WebMD because that probably solved the problem. Is your shoulder pain gone?
Title, what do you mean it's not a doctor, Ralph? It has MD right in the name of the website.
Okay, listen. You might be the smartest person I know. How stupid can you be?
I wanted to find out.
4 months.
I wanted to find out what it was likely to be.
2 weeks nonstop every night, and you're going on WebMD.
I watched the box set of season 5 of House, waiting for them to have a case like this, and it just never came up.
That's unbelievable.
And I think what it is.
You don't have to think. Go to a doctor.
Rotator cuff is what I think it is.
From all those years of pitching in the major leagues?
Maybe that was it. I don't know if that was it or not. So I did call this week because it is so painful. I did call to try to get an appointment with the orthopedic surgeons in the hospital that I go to that's near where I live, right?
Right.
The only appointments that I could get this whole week were during the morning
show. Of course.
That's how it works.
Take a day off.
I could have an appointment
fixed.
At 8 o'clock this morning. I could have an appointment and see a doctor.
Should have gone.
I wasn't going to miss a day of work for something that I can survive, so
you
I made an appointment.
You can't lift your arm.
But here's the thing.
You have to be bleeding out in order to go to the doctor?
Here's the reason why you did it the wrong way. Because if you do it after the first 3 to 5 days, you can schedule an appointment a month away whenever you need to schedule it during the day, and it'll be fine. If you wait until the very last second when your hand is numb and all night your shoulder hurts and you tell them that you really need to see a good doctor, they're going to tell you, I have an appointment 2 months out.
Well,
you don't get an appointment whenever you want just because it hurts after 4 months.
I got an appointment for next Monday afternoon. So I'm going to a doctor. You guys should be delighted.
After 4 months.
How childish are you?
What is your problem?
What is your problem?
I'm serious.
No one likes doctors.
I can't comprehend it.
First of all, I'm very busy, and it's tough to shoehorn that into my schedule.
You're not busy.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Can you sleep at night, or does it feel like there's a screwdriver in your shoulder?
There's that.
You're not busy sleeping.
And you're not busy.
You're not busy lifting your arm over your head. You save time there.
He's busy getting dressed, which takes 3 hours.
If I can get a doctor's appointment for 2 a.m., I'm always awake. That would be perfect. But he's really busy. Look, the point is that I don't like going to the doctor. And
Nobody does.
Right. I'm going to go.
But adults circumvent that by taking care of their health.
Adults understand, even teenagers, I would say, understand that if things keep getting worse, you have to go to the doctor no matter what.
Not to mention the bad side is if you tweak your shoulder, if you get a small tear, especially in a rotator cuff. My friend did this playing golf. He ignored it. Let it go. And it kept tearing and kept tearing and got worse. And the doctor said if you'd come in initially, it would have been a minor surgery. Now we have to put 4 different titanium brackets into your shoulder, immobilize your arm for 6 months, and then another 6 months of physical therapy. It'll be a year before you can use your arm again.
I'm not going then if he's going to tell me that.
That's good. No, that's a good answer, is not to go. How could you possibly let this go on for 4 months? I'm just baffled.
It's dumb. And you're a smart guy, but it's dumb.
That's what I'm saying. Super smart. This is stupid.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you got a point. Maybe I should have addressed it earlier. But
you think?
I'm going Monday.
The belly button was 10 effing years.
So I'm way ahead of schedule.
And you knew at the beginning you would probably need to see a doctor about it.
Yes. That's true. That is true.
So for 10 years, you put up with at least mild discomfort. What about your quality of life? Doesn't that bother you at all?
Can't move your arm, can't get dressed, can't pick anything up?
Is that put a crimp in your lifestyle
No
at all?
Feeling in the hand?
Look, when you say it like that, yeah, it sounds like I'm making poor choices. When you put it in those terms,
in any terms, anytime you have that much pain, 3 to 5 days, you just go, well, if you have any sense at all, you just go, well, look, I hate going to the doctor, but this is bugging me, so I guess I'm going to have
better
to.
Now than later.
You just do
it.
It
only get worse.
All right. I agree. I think that's good advice.
Wow.
All right. The next time something hurts, we want to hear about it. 4 days in.
Hey, watch it, Lisa.
Yeah, we don't want to hear about it.
Let him just take care of it, but we don't have to.
We
hear
just
about
want
it.
Him to go to the doctor.
Right.
All right.
Unless he's bleeding out. Then just lay down.
Just try to make it 2 months next time, B.
Okay.
He doesn't like to go to doctors. That's his excuse. Was he 3?
Well, he's busy. He's busy working on Cute Corner. Give him a break.
It's time to make fun of Bean. Make fun of Bean.
If you don't know what Elizabetta Canalis looks like, I just posted a photo gallery at krock.com, kevinandbean.com.
She's ridiculous. I won't look.
She's ridiculous.
It just makes me feel bad.
She's ridiculous for anybody.
Yes.
God bless Steve-O, though. Standing O, seriously. All right. Let's talk about this weird, bizarre showbiz story that Ralph did yesterday, which is that Clint Eastwood's wife is getting a reality series. Clint Eastwood, a guy who has made movies. He's been a director. He's won multiple Academy Awards. He's the guy that did It's Halftime in America. Remember that?
Yes.
At the Super Bowl. He's got an amazing voice.
You just don't think of him as tolerating a lot of BS, right?
No.
He's
the opposite of tolerating BS.
And pretty private, too.
E! Network has said that it has ordered a reality series called Mrs. Eastwood and Company, and it'll focus on Clint Eastwood's wife, Dina, and their daughters, Francesca and Morgan, as well as an all-male singing group called Overtone that Mrs. Eastwood manages.
Oh.
So maybe this is a PR thing, but it just seems like Clint Eastwood might not be the person who would be excited about a show like this, so we thought we would talk to him this morning. Hello, Mr. Eastwood.
Can I hear your impression of me again?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I didn't know you would hear that.
I'd love to hear that.
I'd rather not if you don't mind.
Go ahead. It's Halftime in America.
It's Halftime in America. That's all. That's
pretty goddamn good.
That's all I have. Clint.
Very impressed.
You seem, is this really happening, this Mrs. Eastwood and Company?
It's really happening.
It is. And you're cool with that.
Well, I'm as cool as I can be.
Right.
Which is pretty goddamn cool.
It is, I know, but I'm saying you don't seem like a wacky guy, and reality TV shows seem like they go pretty wacky.
Let me explain something to you.
All right.
I'm 81 years old.
Right.
My wife is considerably younger.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I want to get any, sometimes you got to give in a little bit. Mm-hmm.
I see.
It's the fourth quarter of my life. It's the two-minute warning.
Right.
And I'm out of red flags to throw.
Right.
No calls are going to be overturned. So I better use all my timeouts.
All right, now...
get the ball back.
Right.
In the hands of the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Right, I think we get the...
hopes of scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, I think we understand.
But regardless, the game's going to be over.
Right.
And I'm going to be wearing cleats.
Right, okay. Are you going to be on it?
My wife?
No. Are you going to be... yeah, that too.
I hope so.
Are you going to be on the TV show?
I probably will make an appearance or two.
You will? That's shocking.
Well, it's E, for God's sakes.
It is E,
my
I know.
My whole life, I've wanted to be on E.
You have?
Yeah.
Why?
I want to be on the Chelsea Handler show.
Really?
Yeah.
You're joking about that.
No, I'd love to be on Chelsea lately.
Okay. You think she's funny?
No.
Why do you want to be on the show?
Oh,
I want to bring with me the .44 Magnum,
the
most powerful handgun in the world.
So you're going to say...
I want to ask her a question.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel lucky, bitch? Well, do you? And I'd put one right through her temple. And I'd shoot that midget, too. I don't like midgets.
You don't?
They creep me out.
Yeah. Yeah, they creep a lot of people out.
I feel like they're always looking at my junk.
Well, that's...
Nobody looks at my junk.
But that's eye level for them. I mean...
Except Dina.
What was that for? Who are you shooting now?
Sorry, it just went off.
Okay.
Morning, party people. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Kevin and Bean are on vacation, so we're playing the best of, but we are doing live showbiz beats each and every hour to give you... the latest and hottest showbiz news. I'm good.
You sound? Yeah, because the case of the Mondays.
It's Monday. Yeah. I'm just relaxed. All I'm having a good time. I don't feel the need to rattle things off. I'm sitting back. I'm enjoying myself.
Cool.
Enjoying the studio.
Yeah. What else do you like, Ralph?
Well, it's just the studio's nice and comfortable
now.
It is. A little more room in here.
It is. That is true.
A little more relaxed, a little more laid back. I'm just having a good Monday.
Cool.
Having a happy Monday.
Cool.
So shut the F up, Omar.
Sorry.
Having a good time, and now you're making me angry again.
My bad.
I'm also happy that a movie that I make a little appearance in called Ted is the number one movie at the box office this weekend. $54 million it made over the weekend. That is the record for a R-rated comedy. It's previously held by The Hangover, which pulled in $45 million in its opening weekend back in 2009. But now Ted is... the number one R-rated comedy of all time in terms of opening weekends. $54 million made it number one this weekend. Magic Mike was number two.
Magic Mike!
$39.2 million made it just behind Ted. Then Brave was third with $34 million. Tyler Perry's Medea's Witness Protection was fourth with over $26 million. Madagascar 3 came in at number five. And then Abraham Lincoln, Prometheus, Moonrise Kingdom, Snow White and the Huntsman, and People Like Us rounding out the top ten at the box office. This weekend, last night was the BET Awards. Kanye West won an award, and finally, somebody had the balls to do to him what he did to Taylor Swift. Jay-Z was the guy who presented the award. He was standing next to Kanye West. He started his acceptance speech when the following happened.
I want to thank BET for...
Excuse me, Kanye, I'm going to let you continue, but...
See what he did there?
That's funny.
He just didn't go far enough. I just would have kept going. I would have done a whole speech if I was Jay-Z.
Awesome. Yeah,
I just
sort of...
just would start thanking other people and saying other people should have won the award.
That's funny.
Beyonce laughed hardest of anyone, by the way, at the BETs last night. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, they are divorcing. As you know by now, the news broke last Friday. She filed the petition the day before, apparently on Thursday. Sources are saying Tom was completely blindsided by the news. Cruise's publicist released a statement saying Tom is deeply saddened and is concentrating on his three children. And please allow them... their privacy to work this out. Katie Holmes filed in New York City. Now, they believe that's because she has a better chance of getting sole custody of their daughter, Suri, if she files in New York State. And apparently, that's the reason behind the divorce. Sources are telling TMZ.com that the main reason Katie decided to
leave the relationship is because at the age of 6, which is how old Suri is now, Tom had planned to start immersing his daughter into the religion of Scientology, and Katie isn't too keen on that idea, so she is hoping to get sole custody of the child and take her out of that situation.
Which, the situation's going to have the kids?
Why, you?
I'm thinking, we already think Scientology is crazy, but if Katie Holmes is running with her daughter to get away from it, there must be stuff going on there we don't know about.
Yeah.
What was it that Jiminy Glick said about Scientology? He described it best, I think, in terms of exactly how the whole religion works.
I know that it's about you go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere and then you sign a huge check, and if you don't, they'll kill you.
Yeah, well, there may be more to it than that, actually. Jennifer Lopez is celebrating the fact that she has made $80 million over the past decade from her perfumes. The San Francisco Chronicle did a story on celebrity scents, and she's got 18 different perfumes that have paid her $80 million over the past 10 years. Sarah Jessica Parker came in second with her scent, Saddle, it's called. And it's not called Saddle at all. Madonna is third, then Britney Spears and Avril Lavigne are the top five celebrity
Avril Lavigne
perfume moneymakers.
What the heck?
I know, isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Taylor Swift, she's releasing her second fragrance this week. First one was called Wonderstruck. The next one's called Wonderstruck Enchanted. And she's calling it the next chapter in the series of perfumes that she's making. Oh, this is such a racket, I will tell you.
No.
Taylor Swift said, oh my God, I can't believe I have another perfume coming out. So surprised, you guys. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld. He is 65 years old today. Bassist Dave Parsons of the band Bush celebrates his 47th birthday. Singer Michelle Branch is 29. Ashley Tisdale from Hellcats and High School Musical. She's 27 years old. Actress Lindsay Lohan celebrates her 26th birthday. You know, it's more than just a birthday for Lindsay when she celebrates. It's an achievement that she has survived yet another year and got to 26. Yeah. So we wish her all the best. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.